The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast,
foretold in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, where we've just run out of Krispy Kremes, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and it's only 364 more days until my birthday.
Welcome to PID Radio for October 29th, 2010.
We had a good time last night.
We did. Sam and Alice Miller, who came up from Charlotte, North Carolina.
You don't even know where they live.
Wrong.
I'm adjusting my microphone.
Yeah. Well, let me mute that while so we don't get any of that noise. Headed back to the Carolinas by way of from Nashville, by way of Indiana. And we're glad they made the detour. It was a real blessing to host them this week. And we'll point out again that if you have seen Tom Horn's presentation or Russ Dizzar's presentation from the Canton Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference, you've seen the handiwork of Sam and Alice Miller, Pathways Media Productions. They videotaped and have uploaded to the web to make it accessible and available to people who couldn't either take the time to get to Canton for the conference or didn't have the budget to get there. So just a real blessing that they contributed their time and talent to make that available. And it is some awesome stuff. And it's in high def, too, even at YouTube. So while you'll have to watch it in segments, you can watch it on a television without having it all pixelated and stuff, which is
They do an amazing job, and they're really, really a cool couple. We had the best time with them. I wish they were still here. But I have to say, I'm happy to be alone with my handsome hubby.
Ooh. So and
that's what you get when you take me out to dinner, you know.
I see.
Sam says, what do I get out of it?
Some great onion rings.
I didn't even get dinner.
Great onion rings. Oh, this Sam. Okay. Well, he got a piece of the pork tenderloin sandwich, so he was happy too.
Which Sam was that? It was Sam Squared the whole time they were there. Every time we'd say Sam, both of them both would come running. One of them had a chew stick in his mouth.
Yeah.
We're not going to say which one.
Right. Well.
We missed the news last night because we didn't have a show because we were out having dinner. But there are, you know, I want to bring the first thing I want to bring up is the little exchange of gunfire on the DMZ in the Korean area.
Yeah, North Korean guard post fired a couple of shots across the DMZ. The South Koreans responded with three shots, and this is not unusual for these things to happen when South Korea is getting ready to host a high-profile international event. The G20, which we've mentioned, is coming to Seoul in about 10 days. So the North Koreans are just
11-11.
About due to... oh, really? 11-11.
11-11. That's when the heads of state, the mucky mucks, get there. But the grunts have been on the ground doing work up until in advance of that. I think what's really interesting, you and I were talking about this earlier, what I find really interesting about Korea right now is that North Korea is on the brink of a leadership change because Kim Jong-il is, frankly, he's been suffering. I mean, he had a stroke a couple of years ago, and he's still not quite himself. He has designated his youngest son, Kim Jong-un, as his heir. I don't know.
His hair apparent.
He's got good hair.
Yeah.
He's got real great hair, man. But Kim Jong, I think it's Nam, is very unhappy about it. He lives in Japan, if I remember correctly. And originally, when I first read the story about the, you know, the sort of, okay, I dub thee my heir apparent, the oldest son who lives in Japan, again, I'm trying to remember my best here. He seems sort of nonchalant about it. Well, you know, I like partying. It's not really something I care about. He's been interviewed a couple of other times since then. His words are parsed more and more carefully each time he is interviewed.
He's now, making it clear, or at least he's trying to make it appear that he doesn't want to take over the reins of power in North Korea.
He is. He's even saying things like, you know, there should not be a dynasty in North Korea, which if he lived in North Korea could leave his head on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But there are rumors floating around North Korea that someone put a hit out
on
the heir apparent.
Oh. Well, certainly it's not an uncommon thing throughout human history for
Lady Jane, which is all about that whole mess between the death of Henry VIII and Edward coming in as the very young 15-year-old king, and he was sick, and then he died and left a vacuum, and the mess that was created and ended up in Queen Elizabeth I.
A lot of people losing their heads in those days.
Yes.
Yeah,
literally losing their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes us to our next story. In Chandler, Arizona, the story that we have been reporting on about the immigrant, I think an immigrant, gentleman, Hispanic gentleman who lost his head. He was stabbed to death and then beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
We saw talk about a Ouija board and candles and possibly Santeria cult and Saint Death. And today, the police department in Chandler is saying, this looks to us like it's part of a drug cartel. It's very similar to other drug cartel slayings. Not a peep about the occult.
Hmm.
As if someone came along and said, stop that.
That's really curious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for these sorts of things to happen, where police will come in and someone will, who's not reading from the script, will say, oh, well, this looks like there are occult elements to this particular crime. And then within a very short period of time, it's, oh, no, wait, that was nothing to see here.
Well, and hasn't Russ Dizdar talked with us about that a little bit, where he, when he has worked with police in the past, and how they are loath to go into that, especially with news writers. They don't want to talk about the occult aspects of a crime. One of the reasons could be that they're trying to keep certain aspects of the crime secret.
That's possible, yeah.
And the other one is possibly trying not to panic the public. But the third, and this is the one that's most disturbing, is sometimes they're complicit.
Hmm.
There are elements within the police department themselves that is somehow... They don't want to talk about it. Either they're involved or they are being paid by someone who is involved.
Well, this,
I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, and I would suspect that this is a relatively small number of cases. A very small number of cases.
Well, and we've talked about it before. The circle is one where apparently the various aspects of government were involved.
The Last Circle by Cherie Singer.
The Last Circle. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. But also, I have heard, I'm not going to name the person and I'm not going to name the town, but I've corresponded with someone who told me that this person, my friend, I won't say he or she, my friend, was involved with things that were very dirty as far as prosecution of cases, simply because the department was itself dirty.
Hmm. Dave McGowan wrote about this in his book, Programmed to Kill. The early chapters of the book, the first few chapters, are devoted to what he calls the pedophocracy. And you can find those chapters online. And he documents a number of cases that are very disturbing. And in fact, I'll talk about one next week with author Nick Bryant, the author of the book, The Franklin Scandal.
I was about to bring that up and ask you if, when that's coming.
That is next week, Friday. And that is... one of the cases where the lid was lifted for just a little bit to allow a little bit of sunlight in before it was slammed down again. One gentleman, a fellow named Lawrence King, took the fall in part, but I don't – we'll talk more about what exactly he was convicted of. But that and then some of the cases that McGowan documents in the book from open source intel from major media sources of – crimes that were committed and people who appeared to be right in the crosshairs of the evidence who walked away with very light sentences, if any punishment at all. Not just here in the United States, but over in Europe in there was one, well, trying to draw too much out of memory without enough there, so I'm not going to go further and start spewing inaccurate information.
Don't put yourself down. You've got a lot there.
I just want to make sure that I'm not giving out inaccurate information. But I'll put a link in the show notes to Dave McGowan's book, or at least the chapters you can find online that deal with this, just in case you think that we're overstating the case here, that sometimes authorities are complicit in some
right. And again, we're not
crimes.
Saying that we know for sure that's what's going on in Chandler.
Yes,
that is not
exactly.
what we're saying.
Not in the least.
It could very well be that somebody said, look, you're giving away details of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to catch the guys unless we have some, you know, things put away in the pocket.
Right. And you know, for a very good reason, they may not want to encourage copycats, because there are some sick, twisted, evil people out there who are totally sold out to the dark side who might think that this is a pretty cool way to do in somebody.
Yeah, that's true. That
so
is true. That, that's
you know,
a good point.
Why encourage that sort of a sick fascination with this sort of behavior?
What a
so
world.
Anyway, yeah, the Chandler case is still open. But now the occult aspect apparently being downplayed. Hey, as long as we're speaking of, no, I'm not going to do that. That was really a crude segue. We had talked a bit about.
You're going to get emailed. People are going to. What was that crude segue?
Well,
no,
it,
you don't have to say.
No. No. Sometimes I find myself trying to be funny where it's really not an really.
Well, you know what? We do this live to tape, so you know what you hear is what you get. What you hear
right.
is what we said.
And so we're trying to edit on the fly. So,
and there are flies buzzing all over the place.
Yes, and sometimes they slip through. We talked on October 13th about the UFO unveiling that was supposed to take place.
Mm-hmm.
The former NORAD officer Stanley Fulham, was that the name? I'll have to look that up to make sure I get it correct. Anyway, he had written a book and predicted that on 10/13 there would be a major unveiling where a fleet of UFOs would hover over.
Oh, that's right.
Major cities, and this was going to be the I was correct. It's Stanley Fulham that they would hover over principal cities of the United States, which would be the beginning of mankind's acceptance of the existence of aliens. And we kind of downplayed it and said, this was not much of a wow. In fact, there's stories come out since 10/13 that the balloons or the things seen over New York City were actually balloons from a birthday party that got away. There were some very difficult to explain lights that appeared over El Paso
mm-hmm.
and a couple of other cities. And there is some video now that was shot in high def, actually, of some lights that looked like the very common or fairly common description of the black triangle or flying triangle
mm-hmm.
over Washington, D.C. from October 21st. So there are those who are saying, well, no, Fulham was right. This was the great unveiling.
It wasn't so great.
It wasn't really that great. But when you go back and read Fulham's book, you actually say, well, they might change their minds. It's sort of like one of the apostles from the new apostolic reformation makes a prediction. It might not happen in the year that they say it's going to happen. It might, happen later. So,
And this is going to happen, but if we all pray against it, it may not happen.
It may not
even
happen at all.
God has said it's
going to
happen.
So, anyway, and there was a listener, a regular listener, who pointed this out and said, there were things that happened out there, and you guys gave kind of the impression that it didn't happen at all. Okay, there were some things up there that...
Oh, but we actually said that they didn't all jive. It didn't look to us like the official explanations
exactly.
really were very believable.
The Golden Knights Army skydiving team claiming that they were doing nighttime practices.
Yeah. That
and hovering in midair.
And going straight down.
Yeah, straight down and then hovering.
Yeah.
That didn't seem to really fit.
No, that didn't really make any sense.
But there was something that he pointed out that was really interesting, and somehow this slipped past us. In New York City on 10/10/10, there was a World Mysteries Conference, and apparently the crystal skulls, or a number of the crystal skulls anyway, and I've not had the time really to dig this out, were brought together. The 13 crystal skulls were part of this conference in New York City just a couple of days before the event. So on 10/10/10, the crystal skulls...
So it was like the G13.
I guess. I'm not sure
the so-called legend is that, and I don't know that it's true legend, but the current legend is that if all 13 come together, then a gateway will open.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the you know what the illusion was. But if you go to crystalskulls.com and look at Crystal Skulls events, apparently the Crystal Skulls are on tour. They formed a band and they're on tour now. But the poster, you know, which I just
want to say that we laugh, but it's because we have the joy of the Lord, and so that we don't care. But we do take this seriously. I really believe that crystal formations have the power to open gateways and things like that. I mean, let's face it. The computers we're using are working on nothing more than silica sand when you come right down to it. It's really crystal formations that make this happen.
Yeah.
And graphene soon.
Yes, yes. So,
no, seriously, graphene. It is gonna. They've figured out how to shut it on and off, but that's another story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
We won't go into that. Continue.
Well, anyway, the poster, which I'm downloading now, and it's so large, it's going to take another 3 minutes and 19 seconds. So I'm trying to read this off the small version that's on the screen here at crystalskulls.com. They had what they called the event of the year, the legend of the 13 crystal skulls, Mayan prophecies and the truth about 2012, a two-day ceremonial and activation gathering.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who added that up? Do we know?
This was at the FIT Conference Center, FIT, which I don't know what the acronym means, at 28th and 7th in New York City, hosted by New Realities, Oracle Stone Productions, and the Edgar Cayce ARE of New York City.
28th and 7th. Is it 7th Avenue? I think it's 7th Avenue, Derek, that during the, I think it's the summer solstice, that the sun rises at the end of that avenue.
Ooh.
I'll have to look that up, but I think that's right.
Huh. Ceremonies with Mayan elders on the year 2012. Music. Let's see. Jody Sirota sound activation. First public appearance of the 33-pound ancient mystery skull. Lectures, exhibitors, group initiations.
It's 33 pounds?
Yeah. And it is time for planetary ascension. This was all going on. It was, and it, by the way, two-day ticket, $150.
Do you have a link? Put it Instapaper?
Yes, I will put that to Instapaper right now. This is, again, crystalskulls.com. But it is now, it will be at, as I hit the wrong button.
No, that's okay. You can put it there later. But, you know, again, I've gotten a few emails about Instapaper. It's really easy. You just sign up, but get an account yourself. Mm-hmm. And then go in and add a folder. And it's starred folders of other users. And our username is PID Radio. Just add that.
So anyway, that was going on in New York City. And then again, just a couple of days later, balloons or whatever they were on 1013 over Manhattan. Now, how much of this is real? How much of this is light show?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Thank you for the segue, because I don't know what we can and can't believe when it comes to this, the idea of UFOs hovering over every major city. I'm going to show you a video later on after we do the show, and we will put links to these videos on Instapaper. Sue Bradley sent me these. So anyone who's read Sue Bradley stuff should instantly be going, ding, boy, this is pretty important if Sue Bradley is paying attention to it.
Right.
You watch this video, and at the end you go, well, what can I believe?
So
you wait.
It looks that real.
Wait until you see it. It will blow your mind. Blow it right out. Just blow it.
Well, you know, that's reminiscent of Project Blue Beam, which Nick Redfern... Let's see, did he mention that in the book or not? I'm trying to remember now. I've been listening to a podcast the last couple of days where they've been talking about the UFO phenomenon or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
But the elements of Project Bluebeam, which seem to be unfolding like a prophecy for us here in 2010. And Project Bluebeam goes back to the mid-90s, and it was essentially a means of, faking.
Holographic projection.
By holographic projection. In fact, I think he did talk about this as one of the means the Collins elite might employ to fake a disclosure event and frighten people.
Or even the return of Jesus Christ.
Or even frighten, yes, fake the return of Jesus Christ through the use of very complicated holographic images. But, you know, with...
And these are very complicated. Wait until
lasers,
you see these. Yep.
Lasers in space via satellite. The technology is nearly there.
I know. You got a big sky up there, a great big old screen.
Yep. So anyway, yeah, lots of interesting things out there. But can we trust our eyes? Maybe not. The only thing we can trust, of course, is the word of God preserved between the covers of the Bible.
Amen.
Well, why? Of course, I guess today being the day that President Obama addressed the nation over those suspicious UPS and FedEx deliveries, we probably ought to touch on that just a bit.
Well, really, yeah. Go ahead, because there's something I want to talk about here in a minute. Well, so I will let you talk about that while I look this up.
Yeah, this was a story that developed this afternoon. You probably have heard about it in the news. It certainly is going to occupy the cable news cycle, I would guess, for the better part of the weekend. Bomb materials found on flights from Yemen.
They were discovered in Dubai, I think, originally. But
one in Dubai and one in England. In cargo that was headed for
I think they even inspected one in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And that one apparently has turned out to be kind of a dud. Also, Philadelphia and Newark, New Jersey, UPS planes grounded there. But they were apparently headed to Jewish houses of worship in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, to be politically correct, the Obama administration released a memo saying, essentially, synagogues, churches, temples, you know, they named them all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of Jewish houses of worship,
right.
You would assume, unless they're messianic.
They could have said that, but
they didn't.
No, they named them all.
Yeah. Well, anyway, President Obama said that a credible terrorist threat had been discovered, and military jets, in fact, escorted a passenger jet from the UAE, from Dubai, down at JFK because it was carrying a package from Yemen.
Can you say October surprise?
Makes you wonder about that, doesn't it? Thankfully, no one was hurt. And thankfully, if harm was intended to anyone, these things weren't intercepted. But it does make you wonder, as we're looking at just 4 days hence, as we go to the polls on November 2nd.
Is it November 2nd?
November 2nd.
Is it the first Tuesday?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
it is.
It's coming up.
We vote on Tuesday. And we're looking, according to all the polling data that I've seen here over the last day or two, that the Republicans are getting ready to take back the House in a big way. Could wind up with 220, maybe as many as 240 seats in the House. And they need 218 to have a majority. And they may even wind up with the Senate. They could wind up taking back both houses after Obama's, midway through the Obama administration. So it is interesting that this sort of thing would happen just a few days before we go to the polls.
Interesting timing with George W. Bush's book just coming out.
Yeah, and throwing out the first pitch at the Rangers-Giants World Series game this weekend.
Yeah, nobody tweeted to him.
he is a former owner of the Rangers, by the way, and he likes to joke that his legacy to the Rangers was being the owner when they traded Sammy Sosa to the Cubs.
I don't think he had mom jeans on, though, so he's probably okay. I wanted to bring something up before we head out today, and that is that I take a look at the various emergencies going on in the world, and there's a great site I go to that actually is out of Hungary, but not hungry, Sam, but Hungary.
Hungary, yes.
Yeah. It actually is an alert that there is some sort of mysterious fever that's taking place in India. And there are a lot of provinces, a lot of areas that have been affected. So far, 97 people are suffering for sure from this mysterious fever. 6 people are dead. And what happens is you are fine in the morning, you get sick in the afternoon, and you're unconscious.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The
suspicion at this point is that it's some sort of unknown version of dengue fever, but this stuff hits fast, or that it could be some sort of encephalitis.
Hmm. But they have not yet identified what it is.
Yeah, they have not. Hmm. They have not.
And what's the latest?
I said dengue fever. Strike that one. It is. They only have encephalitis in this article.
Okay. What is the latest from Indonesia? I understand that the Mount Merapi is getting ready to really rumble.
Well, there are a number of volcanoes around the world that are rumbling right now.
Mm.
So it's an interesting time to be alive. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Over 400 dead now in Indonesia following the tsunami that took place there. And Mount Merapi continues to to blow. There's some very striking images that have been posted to various news sites on the web of the smoke just billowing out of Mount Merapi. So yet another disaster awaiting people there as ash and rock flow mm-hmm. down the side of the volcano there.
There's one last thing that we really aren't going to have time to really talk too much about. I was kind of hoping to play the hum for you. But you'll just have to go to Instapaper and listen to it. In England, in Hull, England, if you're a Doctor Who fan, mm-hmm. then Hull, England would sound familiar to you because of the Nightingale and Sparrow episode. Remember that one?
Right.
Where Nightingale was sent back in time, and she ended up in Hull, mm-hmm. and her new boy, the young man who was there when she suddenly appeared out of nowhere,
right.
Ended up being her husband. He said she was in Hull, and she kept saying, "Stop saying Hull," because she had been in London. But this comes from Hull, England, and apparently there was some sort of mysterious hum overhead early in the morning that cannot be explained.
And if you want to try playing it, I've got the audio clicked in through here.
Well, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah,
here.
I should be able to route this through. As
no,
long as
I don't have it up here. Sorry, honey.
Oh, okay.
Hadn't planned. Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can find it. And will it go through if I play it?
It should, unless you've got the sound muted on the machine.
I
here.
Don't know if I do. No, I don't. Let's look. Oh, just heard that little bleep. Let's see.
This is a relatively new audio connection that we just set up for Sharon's machine here.
We'll see how well this plays.
It's a really bizarre.
I think it's still trying
hum.
To load in.
Hmm.
I'm not hearing it.
No, it's nothing coming through.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it at all. Well, you'll just have to go and play it. It's about middle of the player that you. It looks to me like it's starting to. Play any more that goes on and on, and again, that what you heard was about the middle of that little clip that you find at that article at this Hull and East Riding .co.uk. That sounds to me like a World War II bomber.
It sounds like a heavy prop driven plane,
doesn't it? Yeah,
it does. But the RAF says nope.
They say nothing was going on that day. So mm-hmm. what was overhead? Theories go from anywhere from, as we said, World War II prop plane to UFO.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to
leave that. Giant mosquitoes was not mentioned.
Or mosquitoes, yeah. We'll have to leave that as a mystery for now. Tonight on PID
Radio.
Could have
been the TARDIS.
No, that makes a complete difference on them.
Yeah.
Tonight on
bad.
I know. I didn't have time to work on that. View from the Bunker Live. As we head into Halloween weekend, we talk a couple of things. First, we're going to talk about Chris Pinto's new DVD, which is about the hidden faith of the Founding Fathers. Interesting because their faith is being used to push a particular political agenda. So we'll talk about that in the first hour. In the second hour tonight, as we get closer to the witching hour, we'll talk about the dangers of talking to the dead. Steve Wolberg will be our guest, the author of Demons in Disguise.
That's tonight. An appropriate one.
View from the Bunker Live, PID, blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Time, GMT minus 5. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Oh, you hit the wrong button. Oh, there we are. See, it really is live. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day is coming soon.